Promises, promises. I'm sure that every single person here today has had a promise broken to them. And I think if we're honest, I think we could also say that almost every single person here could say that they have broken a promise. Unfortunately, it's part of living in a sinful and fallen world. The human beings will promise things, but they will fail to meet many of those promises. But there is one who keeps his promise. There is one who keeps his promise of a plan of salvation that is revealed all throughout the Old Testament. One who keeps his promise to provide a remedy for the infection of sin that infects every single person, because each one of us is born separated and in need of redemption. A promise to free those who are enslaved to sin, death, and the power of the devil. A promise that would send a Messiah to bring about God's eternal kingdom and establish it in God's power according to his mercy and his love. And we celebrate those promises today, don't we? But today I want to focus on one promise. A promise that was made by the Messiah who realized and fulfilled all those Old Testament promises. A Messiah who was born in a manger in Bethlehem. A Messiah whose name is Christ the Lord. And as Jesus stated multiple times to his disciples and also to the religious leaders, this is the promise that we focus on today. The promise that, as he said to the religious leaders, destroy this temple and in 3 days later I will raise it from the dead. Because we serve a risen and living Savior who is Christ the Lord. Can anybody say amen? Amen. That's the promise we celebrate here today. Please stand at the reading of God's holy word. We're looking at Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Again, reading in Christ's name. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the temple, taking spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened, they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to be as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and he ran to the tomb, and stooping, looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home and he marveled at what had happened. Lord, as we celebrate this wonderful promise that is realized and fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray that you would encourage, strengthen, and preserve us. Lord, I pray that every single word that comes from my mouth is from you and not from me. Jesus, I pray that you would receive all of the glory, honor, and praise. I pray this in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And so the very first thing that we see in our text is that these grieving women go to the tomb. Christ's followers go to the tomb on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Before the light had shined over the horizon, it was dark. Now that it was Sabbath, finally the women could finish the Jewish burial rites that they failed to finish on Friday, Good Friday, the night that Jesus died. Jesus died near 6 o'clock, and the Sabbath for Jewish people begins at 6 p.m. on Friday evening, and so they weren't able to finish all of the burial rites. They got Jesus off the cross. They washed his body. They laid him in the tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had provided. They rolled the stone over it, which took many men. And they went home and they celebrated a very somber and grief-filled Sabbath. There's not a lot that we have in Scripture on the day of the Sabbath, but I can imagine what it must have been like. Looking at all of the time that they had spent with Jesus, these women and the disciples who would soon become apostles spent nearly 3 years with this man, a man named Jesus Christ, the man Jesus of Nazareth, who now lay dead in the tomb. But he was a man like no other. He was a man who did not fear the glory of men. He was not afraid to challenge the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He was a man that wasn't afraid to hang out with the drunkards, the prostitutes, the thieves, and the murderers. A man that saw potential in almost every single person that he met. A man that called common laborers and fishermen to preach and proclaim God's eternal kingdom and the saving gospel that he had come to provide. He even called a tax collector. Now, in Jewish society, a tax collector would be ostracized and he would be kicked out of the synagogue. He would be someone that wouldn't be worthy of becoming anyone's disciple, especially as a religious leader. But Jesus saw past Matthew's situation. He saw the potential of what God could transform him into. And that's every single person here today. The transforming power of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ is more than we could ever know. It transformed lowly fishermen and an exiled tax collector into someone that willingly gave their lives for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus saw past their circumstances and he saw their potential. Jesus was a man of second chances. Amen. But he was dead and he lay in that tomb. The next thing that we see in our text is that Jesus keeps his promise. Beginning in verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood in front of them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened, they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And so the women in our text, and as it was dark, they set off, and as they arrived at the tomb, and as we look at the different gospels, we kind of gather all the information. As they approached the tomb, they realized something wasn't right. As they approached the tomb, they knew that a Roman guard was placed around the tomb to guard the tomb. And I love what Pilate said. And I don't know if he said this intentionally or he said it maybe guided by God a little bit, but he told the Roman centurions to say, and he said this, go and make the tomb as secure as you can. Because with man, many things are impossible, but for God, all things are possible. They approached the tomb and the Roman soldiers were laying there like dead men. They had no idea what was going on. Can you imagine walking up to a tomb and all of these men just kind of laying on the ground like they were dead, but they weren't dead. As they went to the tomb, they saw the stone rolled away. Now the stone was so big it would have taken all of the Roman centurions and the women themselves to get that stone out of the way, but it was removed. As they looked into the tomb, they saw an empty tomb. And they saw his burial clothes laying there where the body of Christ lay. What in the world is going on? At that moment, they saw two men in dazzling clothes, it says. Two men, two angels sent by God, arrayed in these bleached like white linen. And they knew they weren't just normal human beings. They bowed their face to the ground and they asked a pretty profound question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. Remember what he promised you in Galilee? That he would be delivered? That he would live the perfect life that we could not? That he would be crucified to pay for the totality of the sin of all the world and 3 days later rise from the dead? Do you remember how he promised? The women remembered and they believed. I can't imagine what was going on in their heart at that moment. Joy, maybe a little bit of fear, excitement. Awe and wonder was struck into their hearts. I can't imagine the walk back to the apostles was as slow as the walk to the tomb. I don't know about you, but I probably would have been running or at least walking as fast as I could. But as these women were excited and they went back, they found 11 curmudgeons sitting there saying, "Woe is me," along with a bunch of other people in that other room, because when those women came back excited, ready to tell that the Savior has risen from the dead, just as he promised, just as the angel had proclaimed, they saw this battle between doubt and belief. In verse 9, it says, "And returning from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them that told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed like an idle tale." I think many people still think this is an idle tale. But there are witnesses. Jesus said that you will be my witnesses to these things. Knowing that Jesus had kept his promise, these women went back, told the disciples who became apostles and the others who were in the room, and doubt flooded the room. But something in our text sparked in the heart of Peter. And if we look in the Gospel of John, there is something sparking in John, the apostle, as well. The Gospel of John tells us that at that moment, as there was doubt existing in the room, as people are like, "You guys are crazy. Why would God appear to women first?" Oftentimes, they sometimes are more faithful than men. And as the angels proclaimed the risen Savior to women first, these women went and told these things to the apostles, and they didn't believe them. I find it's amazing that how the voice of God sounds like my wife sometimes. Praise God for godly women. But the Gospel of John also reminds us, as Peter and John, maybe that spark of hope was still there. They ran to the tomb. Now, there's a bit of a competition. If you read through the Gospels kind of carefully, you can see there's a bit of a competition between the two. I'm sure they were probably even racing to the tomb and who got there first. But I don't think that was really the priority. The priority was to see if what the women had said was true. It says in our text that Peter looked in, and it was exactly as the women described. His burial clothes were laying there. The Gospel of John reminds us that the cloth that was over the face of Jesus was folded and placed on the place where he lay. Who would have done that? Who could it be? It's the ultimate Sunday school answer. Jesus. He kept his promise. We serve a Savior who is alive, as we heard in the song. After that moment, the apostles went back and they did as was prescribed by the angels and by Jesus, as he met the women again. "Go to Galilee and wait there for me." Jesus appeared to them. He talked to one of the primary disciples who doubted, Thomas. "Stick your finger in my hands, see the nail holes, and see where the spear was in my side." Finally, he comes to the place where he says, "Lord, my Lord and my Master." Jesus makes a profound statement for us. "Blessed are you who did see, but blessed are those who didn't see and believe." Jesus also appeared to over 500 people. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 reminds us. And so here there's over 500 witnesses that Jesus has truly risen from the dead. And I don't know if you remember our text from Good Friday as we looked at Matthew. As Jesus died on the cross, in his resurrection power, many tombs were opened, and many people who had died, many saints who had died, walked back into the city. Can you imagine that? As I said on Friday, if there's a video in heaven, I want to see that. Because can you imagine someone that you buried several months ago coming and knocking at your door, "Hey, I'm back," proclaiming the risen Savior, Christ the Lord. Over 500 witnesses proclaiming that Jesus has truly risen from the dead, that Jesus kept his promise just as he said. Eventually, the doubt that existed within the disciples' minds was transformed through the word of God into assurance and conviction. They died for the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. They gave their lives for it. So how about you here today? Is there a battle going on within your heart and mind of doubt and belief? God has preserved his holy word, and we have many testimonies that Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead. They never found his body. Josephus, an old Jewish historian, kind of accounts that, and he's not a follower of Christ, and they never found Christ's body. I wonder why. He still has it. The Gospel of John reminds us of why God preserved his holy word. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And that is my prayer for every single person under the sound of my voice, is that by believing in his name, you would have the gift of eternal life. Because Jesus did keep his promise, and help me out with this, because he has risen. He has risen. He has risen, just as he promised he would. We serve a God who keeps his promises. We serve a God who is worthy to place our trust in. We serve a Savior who is worthy to follow and trust in all the days of our life. Because as surely as he came the first time, as surely as he was born in a manger in Bethlehem, as surely as he went to the cross for you and for me, and as surely as that tomb is empty and we serve a risen and living Savior, so too Christ will come again. Not only to judge the living and the dead, but to take those who are his to their true home. A place with no more pain, no more doctors, no more suffering, no more catastrophes, no more bombs. A place where death is no more. A place where we will exist in perfect peace and harmony and love in the presence of the triune God for all eternity, because we serve a God who keeps his promise. Amen. God, I thank you for who you are. You are the great triune God of creation, the God who keeps his promise. Jesus, we thank you that you kept your promise and you truly did rise from the dead, and that you are at the right hand of God interceding. You're praying for us right now. And Lord, I pray that you would pray for each one of our hearts, that we would be transformed into the people you long for us to become. Not out of a fake display of piety or self-righteousness, but Lord, that we would be transformed and that we would live for you as a living sacrifice, as a response of faith motivated by love because of what you have done for us. Thank you, Jesus, knowing that that word falls absolutely short of the gratitude that we should have in our hearts. But Lord, we thank you anyway. We love you, and may we worship you all the days of our life. We close our time together by praying together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.